Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and the countdown is on for Super Bowl 48, but right now we are going to focus our attention on some college basketball and a fascinating book review. It is the 50th anniversary of the legendary coach John Wooden's first NCAA championship at UCLA in the 63-64 season. So right now we're going to take a look at the man behind the legend in this brand new book. It is titled Wooden, A Coach's Life. It is a definitive biography. It is amazing, and I want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of it. And it's such a pleasure to welcome in this evening Sports Illustrated senior writer and CBS sports analyst, and of course the author of this new book, Seth Davis. What a pleasure to have you on. Thank you, Seth.
Well, thanks so much for having me on and that wonderful introduction. Now, I have a lot of pressure to live up to that.
Oh, but you thrive under pressure, don't you? Obviously.
Yes.
Okay, so let me just say, it was an amazing read. I've had a chance to go through this, and we're going to talk about the book momentarily, but kind of give us a hit right now on what's going on nationally. Give us kind of the pulse on what's going on with basketball right now. Who has been perhaps your biggest surprise this year?
Well, I don't know that there have been too many. You know, there's some teams that look like they were surprises, you know, teams like Wisconsin and Ohio State in the non-conference season, and then, you know, once conference play rolls around, you know, the rubber hits the road a little bit when you have to play real teams and you have to go on the road and all that. But it's been a really good season for college basketball. I mean, certainly one of the surprises, San Diego State, Steve Fisher
yeah,
back in the top 10 after losing their best player, Jamal Franklin, to the NBA draft last year. Wichita State continuing its run from the Final Four to be a top 10 team as well. And really, you know, Arizona's been the best team in the country. Now, they're not head and shoulders better than everybody, but they're definitely playing great ball. And, you know, you've got some undefeated teams and the drama of whether, you know, how far they can go. I'm one who believes that it's impossible to go undefeated nowadays. And in large measure, maybe it's not something you should be trying to do because it adds a lot of pressure to the NCAA tournament. And then finally, there's been a lot of excitement about the freshmen. I mean, a lot of people who are more casual fans of college basketball are drawn in by these incredible, talented young players, Jabari Parker at Duke and Julius Randle at Kentucky and Andrew Wiggins at Kansas and Tyler Ennis, the point guard at Syracuse. So it's been a great year so far for college basketball. And the good news is the Super Bowl is almost over, and once that happens, college basketball takes center stage for two full months. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, and we can embrace it fully. But what are you seeing specifically? You just mentioned Andrew Wiggins. What are you seeing out of the Big 12 Conference? I mean, Texas becomes the seventh Big 12 team to be in the top 25. Rick Barnes, he's got that program now trending in the right direction.
And he's certainly one of the surprises. I mean, a lot of us, you know, they missed the NCAA tournament last year for the first time in the 14 years that he's been there. They lose their top four scores, and so you expect, you know, just this big dumpster fire. But he's reloaded with, you know, young guys who are playing the way he likes the game to be played, and they've responded to his coaching, and he's distinguished himself once again as one of the great coaches in the country. So, you know, the Big 12, also with Kansas State and Oklahoma performing well. I mean, it's arguably the best conference in America right now, and nobody was predicting that at the start of the season.
Seth Davis joining us this week in a Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We love when you connect with us. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. Seth is the author of his brand new book. It is titled Wooden, A Coach's Life, and it is just an amazing account of not just only the dynasty that he built in his time at UCLA, but it really, I think the readers are going to appreciate, Seth, the stories behind just how hard he worked for his success, his resiliency, and how he really did have to overcome a number of obstacles. And I really think going back to his early years, just his family, they endured a lot of hardship. I mean, he lost two sisters.
Lost two sisters when they were quite young, and that meant he grew up in a very masculine environment, not a lot of talk about feelings, and that was something that worked against him when he was coaching because he was not, you know, emotionally connected to his players while they played for him. It was only later in his life that was able to happen. And, you know, I mean, we had been presented John Wooden as this two-dimensional figure, you know, never had a bad day, no flaws. No one ever said anything mean to him, and that's obviously not real life. So, you know, my mission here was to write about that third dimension, which is not to say this book is any kind of takedown. It certainly is not. You know, we think of him as a sweet old guy reading poetry in his den, and we all know that you don't win 10 national championships by being sweet. He was very competitive. He loved to win. He had a very controversial reputation with referees and riding opposing players. As I said, you know, he was not always emotionally connected to his players. Many of them left their experience playing for him with very real feelings of ambivalence toward him, if not outright resentment, if they were among those who didn't play. He was very thin-skinned. He was insecure, like a lot of great achievers, a lot of people who came out of the Great Depression. He was sensitive to criticism, sensitive to pressure and expectations, to the point where those 12 years when he was winning 10 national championships, in large measure, those are the most unhappy years of his life because of those expectations. And, you know, finally, I wanted to address the specter of Sam Gilbert, who was a UCLA booster who, over the course of several years, provided Wooden's players with many favors that was in violation of NCAA rules. Wooden didn't create it, didn't orchestrate it, didn't like it, but he also didn't do a whole lot to stop it. And that doesn't exactly square with the image that we have of John Wooden as a paragon of integrity. So, you know, this is real life, and real life is complicated, and great achievers are complicated. And what I would say to people is this. John Wooden was not a perfect man, and he did not live a perfect life. But he was an extraordinary man, and he lived an extraordinary life. And I feel extremely privileged to have been able to tell the story of his life.
Seth, who influenced him the most as a coach in terms of his philosophy?
Well, you know, in terms of his life philosophy, it was his father.
It was his father.
Who, you know, basically gave him the idea that, you know, success should be defined by whether or not you reach your potential. And that's what he always tried to convey to his own players. He never talked to them about winning, but he certainly loved to win, and that was, he thought, the best way to get them to win. His college coach was a man named Piggy Lambert, who was a short guy, 5'5", and taught his players to run and fast break, and basically invented the fast break at a time when it was, there were no blacks playing, and after every made basket, the teams went to half court and had a jump ball. But John Wooden brought that philosophy out to California at a time when everybody was playing walk-it-up basketball. So he was very much ahead of his time in terms of his approach to the game of basketball. You know, he was Rick Pitino long before there was Rick Pitino, and it took some time for him to learn and develop his craft, and also, most importantly, to get players who were good enough to really carry all that out. But, you know, once it did, his way of playing basketball really became the new way to play, and the way that everybody else wanted to play.
Seth, why do you think that he had such sustained success? You were talking about the 10 national championships.
Well, you know, whenever anybody would ask John Wooden who's the best coach that you coached against, his answer was always the one with the best players. So at heart, you have to say that he had great players, and he would be the first to say that. But, you know, he was a tremendous teacher, and that is really was his strength. He wasn't a game coach. He wasn't an X and O strategist. His approach to the job was that, you know, he taught them how to play during the week. He wanted to make sure that they were in the best possible physical condition, and that if he could get the other team to play at a high pace, then at the end of the game, the other team would be tired, and his guys wouldn't be. So it really, he had a very simplified approach to college basketball, and he really, never caught into the idea that these, you know, coaches were, you know, these strategic geniuses. He taught them how to play, and then when the game time came around, he said to them, "Now don't look over at me. I've done my job." He didn't call a lot of timeouts. Didn't do a whole lot of strategizing. Just taught them how to play and let them do their thing.
Seth Davis joining us just a few more minutes at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're breaking down his new book. It is titled Wooden, A Coach's Life. We want to encourage you guys to go out and get a copy of it. One of the things that I really appreciated that you included in the book is that Coach Wooden, he had players that were raised in a culture that acquiesced to authority. They didn't complain when they weren't in that starting five. That was refreshing to hear.
Well, that was at the start of his career, that was true. But then as he got towards the end of his career, that was very much not true, and that was part of the problem that he had. You know, it was a different time. I mean, you had the anti-war movement, the civil rights movement, black nationalism, Kent State, Watergate. There was a lot going on, and he was very much, even though his own political views and ideological views were actually quite progressive, he was extremely tolerant in terms of race all of his life, even though he came out of Indiana when the Ku Klux Klan was at its heyday. But it was in the application of those beliefs that he would have conflicts with his players, because he didn't think it was proper to try to impose your own set of values on somebody else. And he didn't want anything to disrupt this little machine that he was building inside UCLA basketball. So you could imagine to somebody like Bill Walton and a lot of the players of that era who were very much caught up in student protests, that there would be a lot of tension and conflict inherent in that dynamic, because John Wooden became the symbol of the establishment. And needless to say that in the late 60s and early 70s, being establishment was not exactly a comfortable place to be.
Best-selling author Seth Davis has joined us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Once again, tell all of our listeners tonight where they can go out and get a copy of the book.
anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the bookstores, what I would say is if you go to a bookstore and it's not there, be like Bill Walton and stage a sit-in until they go ahead and get it. But I'm very pleased with the reception of the book.
Yes.
People are understanding that this is not just another book on John Wooden. This is what really happened, and it's done in a way that's respectful and admiring of my subject without partaking in the myth-making that had gone on for so long.
It is an incredible read titled Wooden, A Coach's Life by Seth Davis. Seth, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll get a chance to hoop it up with you in the month of March, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR.